During this visit, I've been speaking about the prayers of Prahlad from Canto 7, Chapter 9. Some of you have been with that earlier section. We're now up to verse 13. So we'll go back. Everybody knows, is it quite negative? Is there anybody that needs an introduction to who is Prahlad Maharaj? Our young devotees here in the front row, you all know who is Prahlad Maharaj, right? Yes?
Yeah?
No, behind you, the Prahlad Maharaj? Tell me something you know about Prahlad Maharaj, one something. Prahlad Maharaj. You forgot. Let me remind you. Who was Prahlad Maharaj the son of? Starts with an H. Hiranyakashipu. You've heard his name? No. Who was Prahlad Maharaj the devotee of? Lord Srinagadev. That's right. So Prahlad was a pure devotee, according to what he says. Well, I'll say two things. According to what he says in chapter 10, he's a Vaikunthavasi, and he was sent from Vaikuntha by Lord Vishnu because Lord Vishnu was compassionate upon people in this world who are entangled in the modes of ignorance and passion. So he instructed him, he sent him to come to this world to teach the way of devotion that's unmixed with passion and ignorance. And a little sharing, there's different yuga cycles, and in different yuga cycles, not for sure, because I haven't read it for sure, in every one of the four yuga cycles Lord Nrisimhadeva appears, but in a different yuga cycle, it's mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. What's Hari Bhakti Vilas? It's a book, a big, thick book, written by Sanatana Goswami. Actually, it was compiled by who? Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who gave it, the manuscript, to Sanatana Goswami to put together a nice published form. And it's a manual, it's a how-to manual. How to do everything. How to worship deities. How to perform sankskaras. How to observe Janmashtami. How to chant Gayatri, how to, anything you want to know about Vaishnava practices, it's a how-to manual. So one of the how-to items is how to observe Nisringa Chaturdasi. Nisringa Chaturdasi is the name for the day when Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared to protect Prahlad. So in that section of Hari Bhakti Vilas, mention is made of Prahlad asking Lord Nrisimhadeva, how did I become your devotee? How did that, can you tell me the history? How did that good fortune come to me? And Lord Nrisimhadeva said, different than what we hear in the 10th chapter of Canto 7, he said, in your previous life, you were a brahmana. It's something like an Ajamila story. You were born in a brahmana family, but you didn't do any studies of the scriptures. And you didn't do the proper procedures of austerity, etc., that brahmanas are to perform. And in fact, you just did the opposite. You were indulging in sense gratification like anything. And wine drinking and woman chasing, and you know, you weren't at all proper. And in fact, you had a prostitute for a girlfriend. And you were carrying on with her for some time, and on one occasion, which was unknown by you, because you had forgotten everything brahminical and unknown by the prostitute, you got in a quarrel with the lady. And you became upset, and you fasted all night long, all day long, all night long. You observed the Nrisimha Chaturdasi fast, unknowingly. And so, for that reason, you've now become my devotee. And at the end of this, you'll, for a long time, you'll rule your father's kingdom, and then you'll come to me in the spiritual world. And the lady, she also fasted all night long, and she was also upset, and for that austerity she performed on Nrisimha Chaturdasi, in her next life she became an apsara, and then she went back to Godhead. So, very important is observing Nrisimha Chaturdasi. If you want to go back to Godhead, it's a good head start. And then there's details of how to observe Nrisimha Chaturdasi properly. Quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So all of that is to say there's different, Prahlad's appearance is different in different cycles of the yugas. And the Bhagavatam is narrated like that. Shukadeva Goswami, in this case the person that's narrating is Narada Muni, is speaking to Yudhisthira. The whole seventh canto is like that. And that narration is being told by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit with reference to this exchange between the two. It's not uncommon, our acharyas explain, it's not uncommon for there not being a differentiation between which yuga cycle is being referred to. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Shukadeva Goswami doesn't even differentiate. There's a, in describing the appearance of Lord Varaha, Lord Varaha is one of the form, the Lila avatar forms of the Lord, boar incarnation, Lord Varaha. So, there's a red one, Rakta Varaha, and there's a Sweta Varaha. They appear during different manus, and they have slightly different pastimes, etc. And he doesn't differentiate, he just kind of makes Khitri. He combines the two without differentiating the two. But Vishwanath happens to know the difference between the two and shares. So there are differences of appearance of Prahlad and Lord Nrisimhadeva. But Lord Nrisimhadeva is an eternal form. And Prahlad is his devotee. And they make their appearance. It's a Leela. In the very first prayer of this chapter 9, the second prayer, excuse me, there's mentioned that the goddess of fortune, even she felt fear because she didn't recognize this form of the Lord and she couldn't approach him, so they encouraged Prahlad, you go forward. And the explanation is given that, of course, the goddess, she's the goddess of fortune. She has seen Narayana, or Lord Vishnu, she's his consort. So, in the spiritual realm, in Vaikuntha, there's a form of Nrisimhadeva. And she is at his feet, serving him. And during different yuga cycles, she has appeared and she's seen that form. But the verse says she hadn't seen the form. And the explanation given is, by the Lord's Leela Shakti, we use that word lots in Hare Krishna movement, the Lord performs a leela, but the technical term is it's one of his internal potencies called leela shakti. By the influence of leela shakti, she had amnesia. She couldn't remember. It's like Arjuna forgetting his position in relation to Krishna so that Krishna could speak Bhagavad Gita. She had forgotten that she had seen this form so she could be astonished. Adbhuta rasa. So all of this is a leela. It's a pastime of the Supreme Lord to teach many lessons, and he's doing so through the character and the conduct and the speech of Prahlad. He's come to teach us the way of pure devotional service. So if we hear these prayers and the pastime and everything with that vessel of our heart open to receive this wisdom, not beyond information, but the wisdom and the purity of devotion that Prahlad is carrying, it's transmitted through his prayers. So we ended yesterday evening in Lansing with Prahlad's expressions of humility, because that's where it begins. He's saying, we heard this yesterday, so a little review. I have no qualification to offer prayers to this. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'm born in a demoniac family, and the demigods, they're in the mode of goodness, and they're highly learned, and they spoke eloquent words, and that didn't pacify you. So what about me? I'm this most unqualified personality. So why is it that you stopped roaring and you placed your hand upon my head and you seem to be calmed down? Why? What is it? It must be there's a little bhakti that I receive from my association with Narada Muni. That's pleasing you. And so here I go, I'm unqualified, but my superiors, the demigods, they've given me the service. I can't deny the service given to me by my superiors. So knowing that you're very merciful, acknowledging before you I'm not qualified, according to my capacity, let me offer prayers. So that's where we ended. I'm paraphrasing things somewhat, but this is the spirit that he's offered his prayer. So now, one of the themes in all of Prahlad's prayers, Prabhupada says, is that there's no prior material qualification needed to engage in devotional service, and it's only one who's engaged in devotional service that one can understand Krishna. And when you do understand Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. Punar janma na. No more birth, no more death in this material world. The small things, just understand Krishna. So it's not so easy to understand Krishna. But one can understand him through devotional service, and eligibility is receiving bhakti from those who have bhakti. So here's where we're beginning. In big letters, Shemaya Bhutaya Uttama Shlokaya Chasya. Oh my Lord, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, are sincere servants of your Lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore they are not like us, Prahlad and his father. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Pastime for his pleasure. So it was stated in the commentary, now it's being stated directly by Prahlad. Lord Nrisingadeva is one of the Das Avatars. We sing one of the Das Avatar Stotras every time we have Aarti. And often when we have Kirtan, after Kirtan and Aarti, we sing. Jayadev Goswami, in his Gita Govinda, he compiled one portion as this Das Avatar Stotra, and he glorifies Lord Nrisingadev. He's one of the primary Leela avatars of the Lord. So there it is. It says, pleasure pastime, Ruchira Avatara. When the Supreme Lord appears, this is from the purport. When the Supreme Lord appears in this material world, in his various incarnations, he performs two functions, saving the devotee and vanquishing the demon. Such pastimes as those of Nrisingadeva are certainly not meant to create a fearful situation for the devotees, but nonetheless, the devotees, being very simple and faithful, were afraid of the fierce incarnation of the Lord. Looks pretty fierce. Garland of intestines. So, his roaring. We heard the description the first Monday evening. The roaring that the whole earth trembled. And elephants, who are used to hearing loud trumpeting sound from elephants, they were trembling. The whole planet was shaking because the sound was so intense and fearful. But it wasn't meant for the devotees. It was meant for Lord Nrisingadeva, Hiranyakashipu and his cohort. So Prahlad is not afraid, because he knows who that is meant for. There's the business of the Supreme Lord. All of these images are showing us this verse from Bhagavad Gita, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So protecting Draupadi. And so each of the kids jumping up and down. Protecting Parikshit within the womb of his mother. So many examples of Krishna appearing simply for the welfare and protection of his devotees. Text 14. My Lord Nrisingadeva, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all of the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. I put that in really big letters. In order to become free from fear. Coming up soon is Lord Nrisingadeva's appearance day. And so something about Lord Nrisingadeva's appearance. Prahlad is instructing, but the Vedas teach us. He appears specifically to drive away fear. I'll tell two little stories. New York City, coming home from a concert with, you know, a group of us had been to a Central Park Kirtan book distribution, because there was this massive concert in Central Park. And what we used to do, I don't know what they do these days, we had kind of like a second bead bag around her neck. It wasn't for beads, it was for whatever Lakshmi was collecting. We put it in this little pouch with an elastic thing across the top and put it in. So we were on our way back, and each of us had our, you know, some magazines left and our bead bag and Mridanga cartels, and going back to the temple. One devotee, kind of an eccentric brahmachari, got on the uptown side of the train instead of the downtown side of the train, and so he was on the wrong side of the track, and in came a train. And, you know, we were motioning to him, come on over, you know, but so we waited for him. So what happened was, while he was over there, somebody saw him separate from us and saw this little pouch hanging around his neck. They, you know, I don't know exactly what they did, but in his words, they were trying to mug him, like, you know, take the money from him and harm him if he didn't give him the money. But he was this simple eccentric brahmachari, so he just started screaming Nrisingadev's name. And the man thought he was nuts, and he ran away. But it wasn't contrived, he was just spontaneous. There's another story, but it's quite similar. A girl was being dragged away by some fellow, again, a New York City story. And, you know, towards the bushes, and she was just screaming Nrisingadev's name, Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev. And he looked at her and said, if you're going to be like that, forget it, and just left her. Now, don't count on something like that, ladies, but Nrisingadev's protection, he comes to keep us free from fear. So there's some highlighted words, anger. It's mentioned again, because it was mentioned previously in the earlier verses of this chapter. The Lord was very angry. And he was angry because Prahlad was put at risk again and again and again by his father. He was very angry. But it was not a material kind, it was a transcendental kind of anger. So we discussed that. So here it is again. And Prahlad, little simple boy, is, you know, please remove the anger because Hiranyakashipu's dead. I'm safe. Everything's nice now. So the demigods, they're afraid. Please remove your anger. Then there's this mention of killing a scorpion or a snake. There's a scorpion. Prabhupada told this story about himself and Bhaktisiddhanta, so I'll share the story. Some of you have been to Mayapur, and the headquarters of Bhaktisiddhanta when he was present in Mayapur was the Chaitanya Math. It's down the road, the Bhaktisiddhanta road, from our ISKCON Mayapur center. So when one time Prabhupada was visiting, and over there somewhere, because it's a big piece of land, there were a bunch of Vaishnavas huddled around, you know, screaming in a loud voice like Bengalis sometimes do. And so Prabhupada was curious what the thing was, and there was a snake. And Bhaktisiddhanta heard all the clamor, and he saw what they were doing, and he said, kill it. So it was a cobra, and they killed it. And Prabhupada had this doubt in his mind. He's a sadhu, how can he say? But then he read this verse, then he understood. The most important point in this verse is that although saintly persons never desire the killing of any living entity, although they never desire the killing of any living entity, they take pleasure in the killing of envious living entities like snakes and scorpions. So the next image you can't see is a cobra. It's coming back on. The lights. I see the light. Hiranyakashipu was killed because he was worse than a snake and a scorpion, and therefore everyone was happy. HDMI, no signal. What's the deal here? Technology is fantastic when it works, and when it doesn't, it's not fantastic at all. I know what I have to do. Okay, there's the scorpion. There's the text. There's the cobra. Here's the text I was just reading. Because worse than a snake and a scorpion, snakes and scorpions attack without provocation. That's why they're very dangerous. You don't have to just be near a snake or a scorpion. Anybody ever had a run-in with a scorpion? I have. Can I tell you a scorpion story? Yeah. Some time ago, during the summer, there was those of you from the corporate world, you probably know this terminology. I just learned it. Organization Development Committee, part of our strategic planning effort. So, it's a corporate term. So a group of devotees from around the world gather together quarterly and have discussions on what we need to do today to make ISKCON ready for tomorrow. Because the number of devotees is going to expand, and what's the structures and systems that we're going to have to look, properly look after the deity worship standards and everything, standards, and you'll accommodate the expansion. So we had this meeting in Italy, and they were doing some renovation. I was given some room upstairs, and it was a big space. It was like a kind of like an attic space, and I found out pretty quickly that I had a roommate, a little black scorpion. And, you know, I could tell it was a scorpion because they had, you know, the tail that went like that, and the little pincher kind of things in the front. And I was there for several days, and every day he staked out his territory. He circumambulated his kingdom. And, you know, he was aware that I was there. I was aware that he was there. And we got along just fine. No, because he didn't attack me, because scorpions will attack without provocation. But he didn't. So, I told the temple president, there's a scorpion upstairs. He said, don't worry, he won't hurt you. I said, okay, why don't you stay there, and I'll stay where you're staying, and he won't hurt you. And then, so at one morning after his circumambulation program, he took a nap. I guess he was tuckered out or something. And so he kind of like curled up in a ball. That's how I assumed he was taking a nap. So I used my Brahminical intelligence and got a little broom and swept him out the door, down the hall. So I had to find a new kingdom. so I, you know, I was wasn't in, you know, in any concern about. I didn't kill him, but you know, he found a new place to stay. I was the visitor; it was his home, but he's got a new place to stay now. But I was thinking of this verse because Prahlad is saying, and Prabhupada repeated here in this purport as well. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt a little curious or funny or something. It's universal. And, you know, telling a story where Krishna's encountering a demon and then Krishna picked up Aristasura and smashed him to the ground and broke off his horn and whacked him so many times, Aristasura died. And everyone goes, Haribo! And that's our religion. But it's when there's something like this, entities that are like snakes and scorpions, it's a relief. And Krishna comes for such a purpose. He killed Hiranyakashipu. And there's Prahlad offering a garland. Because he knows that that anger roar of Lord Srinagadeva is for Hiranyakashipu, not for the devotees. This is the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta telling that story. Now, the last section is he appears to free people from fear. And fear is one of the symptoms of material existence because we're attached to the temporary and anything could happen to the temporary at any moment. And so it's a fearful condition. Now, the cleansing of ignorance, how to overcome fear, it's expressed directly in Lord Chaitanya's teaching, Shikshastaka. Everybody knows this one. Let's say it together. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. That's the first one. That's the cleansing. And what's being cleansed? The covering of the soul. Ignorance is what covers the soul. And when ignorance is removed, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, the blazing fire of material existence is extinguished. In Prabhupada's teachings, it means nirvana. Nirvana is achieved just by chanting. One whose intelligence is constantly disturbed by his falsely identifying himself with the temporary material world can achieve real freedom from fear only by worshipping the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord. In such devotional service, all fear ceases entirely. It's a nice verse. Bhayam dutiyam binivesitak syat. Nice verse. Fear is not unknown in this world. Bhayam dutiyam abhinivesitak syat. Syat means arises. Bhayam is fear. Fear arises when there's abhinivesh. There's absorption in dvitiya, duality. There's the whole verse. Ishada petasya viparyayo smritihi. Viparyayo smritihi. We forget who we are. And there's neglect of Isha. And then, that's fear. Fear arises from that condition, absorption in duality. What's the solution? Tanmayayato Buddha abhajetam. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body. Because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is effected by the potency for illusion, called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person, like Prahlad, should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. This is Prabhupada's translation. Although it's the 11th canto, this is an important verse, and Prabhupada liked to quote it, and so he gave this specific translation of this verse. This is an expanded version of what Prahlad is saying, that the Lord appears to free people from fear. Because when that place of shelter is there, fear is dispelled. When the light is on, darkness is gone. When protection is there, but from the Supreme Lord, fear is dispelled. I was looking, there's this prayer in Kunti's prayers. She's bewildered by the fact that Krishna is crying, seeing a stick in Mother Jasoda's hands. His whole body is trembling. But he was feared by fear personified, is afraid of a little stick in Mother Jasoda's hands. And it's not just play acting. Oh, she wants me to be afraid, so I'll cry. He was actually afraid. He was feared by fear personified. So I was looking on the internet, what's a good image for fear personified? That's what I came up with. Anyway. Fear personified is afraid of Lord Nrisingadev. There's Queen Kunti's prayers. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid. Though fear personified is afraid of you, this sight is bewildering to me. So Prahlad is, this is Prabhupada saying, that there's no need for the Lord to be angry anymore because Hiranyakashipu is gone. And after all, the demigods, they're your devotees and they're in anxiety. So there's no need to be angry anymore. The devotees can always remember the form of Lord Nrisingadev when they are in danger, and therefore the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev was not at all inauspicious. So now we're back to, this is Narada speaking from the beginning of Canto 7 to Yudhisthira, and the occasion is the Rajasuya sacrifice. So Krishna is hearing all of this. And rather than detail. Well, here's a little detail. The chapter begins. Something happened. Yeah, you need a screwdriver. Need a screwdriver. No, you need a screwdriver. Oh, look at that. Okay, you don't need a screwdriver. Okay. During the Rajasuya sacrifice, what happened? Shishupal lost the speaking part of his body. Because the speaking part was offending Krishna. 100 times, Krishna severed that speaking part from the rest of his body. And the Rajasuya Yagya was finished. And when it was finished, Yudhisthira is asking asking Narada, how did this happen? He got Sayuja Mukti. We all saw it right here in the assembly. His soul went merged into the body of Krishna. He was such a bad person. And great sages undergo purificatory procedures and austerities and this is and that's for lifetimes, and they may not get liberation. And this fellow got liberation. Can you explain? That's how the chapter starts. And like chapter 6 starts the same way, it's a glorification of the name. Canto 6 starts with the telling of the Ajamila story, and this chapter starts with just see the power of the name. Even called in scorn and derision, it's mentioned in Canto 6, that Abba's chanting purified Shishupal. So what to speak if you call the name striving for purity of devotion? How powerful is the name? And then there's lots of other discussion about the appearance of Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha, and then comes the narration. The narration of this whole story of how Jai and Vijay were visited by the Kumaras and so forth. And the Kumaras weren't allowed, and so Jai and Vijay were cursed to become demons. And this starts to tell this whole story. When Maharaj Yudhisthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, the great sage Narada, responding to his inquiry, recited historical facts showing how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always impartial, even when killing demons. In this regard, he gave a vivid example. So we're hearing that vivid example. There's text 15. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood. Look at that, he's offering a garland in the middle of all that. Or your high, wedge-like ears. You've seen a cat that's getting ready to pounce on a mouse. Their ears are up. They're ready to go. And I'm not afraid, because all that's meant for Hiranyakashipu. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. This is the recording that's used when they have dramas on Nrisimha Chaturdasi and Lord Nrisimhadeva appears from the pillar. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada writes, the lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Duskritis, the devotees worship him. Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The devotee always takes pleasure in worshipping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. We'll cover two more prayers and we'll conclude. So, these letters in dark print, we'll emphasize them below. Oh, most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I've been put into the association of demons as the result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. He's not afraid of Lord Dasringadeva, he's afraid of Maya. He's a smart boy. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? I'm afraid of the bad association which produces aversion to you. So in this world there's such bad association, so we're instructed by scripture and here by Prahlad to be cautious about such association. So we are respectful, we don't like run the other way, but we don't intimately associate with such people either. That's the scriptural instruction for us. Everyone is put into conditional life according to his karma. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, representing all the other conditioned souls, admits that he was put into life among the asuras because of the result of his karma. Now, this is chapter 9. Chapter 10, he says something quite different. The Lord, you sent me here, from Vaikuntha. So he's speaking here as if he's one of us, something like Arjuna conducting himself as if he's one of us, but he's not one of us. Or, it's so many other nice examples. A nice example, we touched on one yesterday, Krishna Das Kaviraj. Prabhupada writes about Krishna Das Kaviraj. Who's he? He's the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. He is a perfectly realized soul, but he's speaking of himself the opposite. I'm lower than a worm in stool. He writes specifically in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or Sanatan Goswami, very learned person, Saraswat Brahman, very studied, learned personality, saying, I'm a fool. People call me a pundit. I'm such a fool, I say, yeah, I'm a pundit. But you know, the truth, I don't even know who I am. Can you please instruct me who I am? What is my real identity? I'm so learned, I have to ask that question. So, humility is a natural hallmark of an elevated person, so he's speaking this way about himself as if he's one of us, although he's not. That's how we should understand his words. The Lord is known as Kripana Vatsala because he's extremely kind to the conditioned souls. The Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls. nice image. This is the Vedas, and the purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. And people that are averse to Krishna and averse to the Vedas, they're not brahmanas, they're kripanas. But Krishna is kind anyways. Kripana vatsala. Just as he was kind to Ajamila. While the Yamadutas were trying to take him away, he stopped them. Simply because he called the name of Narayana at the time of death. Last. Oh, great one. Oh, Supreme Lord. Because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation, although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life. Any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Vadametava dasyam yogam. Kindly instruct me in such service. Naturally, as a pure devotee, he knows what real shelter is. He knows what the dangers of material existence is, trying to find happiness in the temporary, and then poof, it's gone, and then you lament. Or you don't get it and you lament. Or while you have it, it didn't satisfy and so you lament. There's a whole presentation that I've prepared for colleges. Called spiritual economics. You know, it's an intriguing topic. But part of the presentation is there's scads of studies from starting from World War II, when the economy of the country was ramped up like anything. And they studied, because they're economists, they've got to earn a living, they study how people spend their money and what makes them spend their money. So there's this professor from University of Pennsylvania named Professor Enderline, and he did a 15-year study and named the Enderline principle after himself. He was a very modest man. And he showed, and then others have done similar things, economy goes up, happiness doesn't go up. Because the notion is, you have more money, then you have more options to purchase things and nicer things, and then so for happiness should increase. That's the carrot everyone's chasing, to get money. Because then you can get happiness. You can buy happiness. But it's not so. Not that happiness increases. In fact, depression rate is increasing, and the suicide rate is the greatest amongst those who are most wealthy. Because they got to the top of the mountain, and it's not what it was built to be. So they jump from the top of the mountain, commit suicide. Not everybody, but the trend is like that. There's lots of studies without all the details. So the happiness is the product of financial and economic prosperity is an illusion. It's a trick of Maya. Doesn't mean be poor, but don't expect happiness therein. That's the illusion. So, whatever the circumstances, higher planets, lower planets, there's misery. And want to get free from the misery, the solutions to the freedom from the misery are more miserable than the misery. So there's one solution, devotional service. Now that's just, it's putting it in really simple language. This is really simple language. A devotee is materially pessimistic and spiritually optimistic. Did you hurt your eye?
I feel like I
just got something. It hurts? Painful? It's okay. Okay. Asat Trishna. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words. One of the causes of contaminations of heart is thirst for the impermanent. Asat Trishna. Thirst for the impermanent. And as long as that thirst for the impermanent is in the heart, it blocks you from taking shelter of what's beyond the impermanent. It's like the sun that's shining and big clouds in the sky. The sun doesn't become dark, but your ability to access the illumination and the heat of the sun is blocked by the clouds in the sky. When the clouds are gone, then the direct rays of the sun can be experienced. So this Asat Trishna blocks our inclination for spiritual well-being. We take shelter of hoping for happiness in the temporary instead. Therefore, devotees want to live their lives accepting necessities and being very cautious about accepting more than necessity. It's ideal to live simply. And if there's something that you can do without, you do without. There's, another way of saying the same things. Rupa Goswami's language, over-endeavoring, there's six factors, atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lolyamcha shadbir bhaktir Vinashyati. These six things destroy bhakti, vinashyati. And the first in the list is atyahara. So, over-collecting. There's a devotee I know. He knows he has a tendency to over-collect. And so what he does is once a year, he takes all of his stuff, spreads it out, looks at it, and the stuff that he doesn't need, he gives it away. And then he puts all the stuff back. And then in the course of the next year, he gathers some more stuff that he doesn't need. But it's good as devotees. If you need something, go ahead and secure that something that you need. But make sure it's something that you need. Just some personal sharing. Some time ago, many years ago, I was determined I'm not going to get a computer. Because I see people, their lives get gobbled up by the computer. They lose themselves in just interacting with the computer. So I'm not going to do it. But I had correspondence, so I had some system that Prabhupada used. I had a little dictaphone and little microcassettes, and I made recordings, and a secretary transcribed them, and then I edited it, and then the letters went out. But I didn't have to have a computer. It was liberated soul. But then I realized, like this, with specifically for PowerPoint presentations, it was very useful. I was reluctant, but I got a computer because it was for Krishna's service. But when you accept something that notionally is for Krishna's service, you better stay on guard, because it's real easy for something that's for Krishna's service to not be used for Krishna's service and to be used in my, distraction. Real easy. Without too many examples, it's good. It's a principle of spiritual life. Keep things simple. It's brahminical direction, mode of goodness direction. Things you need to have. On Saturday, I'm being asked to speak on this topic by some home gathering in Chicago suburbs. How much wealth is enough? And then what do you do with it? That's what they want me to talk about. I mean, that's not quote-unquote the topic, but that's what they want me to talk about. Because people struggle with it.
Welcome to Sun Springs Retirement Community.
What brings you here? I'm just here to die.
Very interesting. Okay. So with that, any comments or questions? Let's just go finish this. Material opulence, Material opulence may be somewhat pleasing for the time being, but to come to that position, he has to accept so many miseries. Which is true. The fact is that in material life, whether one is miserable or happy, both conditions are miserable. If one actually wants happy, blissful life, one must become Krishna conscious and constantly engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the real remedy. So now, this is our last slide. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. Lord Nrisimhadev to Prahlad, what will you do by serving my feet? Please enjoy the happiness from the wealth of the three worlds. Prahlad, I experienced the fire of lamentation through birth, with separation and attainment of wanted and unwanted objects in all wombs. Even in the body of a king, this lamentation is present. Well, there's many remedies for the fire of lamentation. The remedy for suffering only produces more suffering. By thinking that still I am happy, even in the body of a pig, I wander about. Please tell me the method of being your servant. By which method should I attain your service? Please tell the truth. If I have service to you, I will have no suffering at all in any womb. Prabhupada tells the story. This is from classes on this topic. The story of Indra becoming a pig. He was cursed to become a pig, and after some time, he said, okay, now come back to the King of Heaven. No. I have my piglets and my wife, and I have so many responsibilities here. And life is nice. Okay, that's good. Lights before the next technology thing happens. It's 9:15. You have school tomorrow? Yeah? So, any comments or questions? We can't stay too late because of school and work tomorrow. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. I think in Farmington, I had a question, but unfortunately we ran out of time. So you mentioned about the six anardas, and in that context...
I mentioned about the which?
Six anardas and...
Kam, Krodh, Lobh, that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And in that context, you said passion and ignorance are not basically like, it's not the source, like everything, all those things, we have a spiritual source, that is, everything is coming from Krishna, but except for passion and ignorance. So
did I say that? Everything, the modes of nature come from Krishna too. I don't know if I said there's something that exists that doesn't come from Krishna. Everything that exists comes from Krishna.
I thought I misheard, but
I think you did.
And then he said, like, yeah, I heard that, so this one.
Yeah, that everything that exists. Prabhupada says there's two things. There's Krishna, and there's Krishna's, and there's not a third thing. There's no void in the creation of God. That would be, you know, something. There's something that exists that's separate from Krishna. That's illusion. Yes.
So, Maharaj, the question is, like, you're talking about the material conception.
Material conception.
Yeah, so I was just thinking of, like, a lot of things were clarified, but I was just thinking that more and more I do is, like, me and my happiness.
Yeah, of course.
Even when performing devotional service.
Because it's important. You and your happiness are important.
So, like, I just think that, okay, if I do this service, I may not get the, I don't have taste or I don't have that happiness. So moving from that, how could I move?
What's Krishna's happiness? That's where you move to. Love. That's where you move to. Not self. You move from selfishness to Krishna's to be pleased. Now, it may be a long road to get there, but that's where you go.
But I just feel that I'm stuck in that.
Okay, well, start with this. The things that you like to do, hit the pause button, step back, and say, is this pleasing to Krishna? And then just, you know, dial in the pleasing to Krishna for things that you like to do. I was sharing, I think it was last night, anyway, there's one mother, there's a few mothers, but one mother said, a thing that I struggle with is cooking for Krishna. And I asked, could you explain? She said, my whole adult life, I've been cooking for my family. And now I'm taught that I should cook for Krishna. And it's hard for me to cook for Krishna because I'm so conditioned to cooking for my family. So it's like she wasn't saying, I don't like cooking. So the things that you like doing, do them for Krishna instead of your own happiness, and see if there's a greater happiness than your happiness that you're now experiencing by doing them for Krishna. So here's another real practical example for kids, like, you know, youth. They like kirtan. So, and, you know, anywhere, everywhere, music is universal, and get together, and they love. So it's a challenge to the youth to not just the musicality of the kirtan. And when someone is maturing in their bhakti, a youth is maturing in their bhakti, they get it. And they struggle with it, you know, to not just the musicality and the social, you know, thing that goes on when they're doing music together, but that Krishna should be pleased. And you, the things that you like to do them for Krishna. Then the things you don't like to do, you do them for Krishna. And it's the same happiness. Cleaning. Because it's pleasing to Krishna. It makes the heart clean. That's pleasing to Krishna. So it's the consciousness behind the activity that's cultivated by bhakti. And that's our life. That's our life of devotion, is cultivating a bhakti lifestyle. It's not just the behaviors, it's the consciousness of bhakti in all that we do. So yes, it's taking away my happiness and what I like and don't like, and you park it over there. You don't, you know, it's not like it, make it zero, but it's over there. Now, what's really important is not, you know, my mind dictating, I like this, I don't like that, or this person's my friend and that one's my enemy. Just park it over there. And what's, I want to be with my Krishna connection. Yes.
I have a question, but before I say it, forgive me for any pronunciation.
No problem. No problem.
So I remember in other discourses I've heard that when a demon is killed by avatar of Lord Vishnu, such as Lord Narasimhadev, that the demon achieves enlightenment.
Liberation.
Yeah, liberation. Why is it that the avatars of Lord Vishnu give that like blessing to the demons that they kill in their leelas and pastimes?
Well, why not?
because they don't deserve it.
Well, he's supreme pure, just like. When something impure comes in contact with something that's pure, what happens? The thing that's impure becomes purified, not the thing that's pure becomes contaminated. So, it's kindness. And the kindness goes here, and the kindness goes there, and the kindness goes there, and because it's kindness. And it's pure kindness. It goes everywhere. So, that what's their not only the reactions for their past wrongs, but the tendency to continue more of the wrongs. It's held in abeyance. It's made clean. So now there's two ends of the spectrum. What about the middle? You know, they also become purified. Because that's what happens. You come in contact with supreme pure, you become purified. In the case of, for example, in the case of these demons, their mind, in a negative way, their mind is absorbed in Lord Vishnu. That was the statement about Shishupal. Shishupal, this is from the beginning chat, he was a cousin. He despised Krishna. Like, livid. There's this long explanation. When he was born, shortly after Krishna was born. So people came to see him. Little baby in the crib, goo goo ga ga, that thing. So, as they were seeing Shishupal in the crib, they mentioned, oh, Jasoda and Nanda, they also had a small child, they named him Krishna. And just hearing the name Krishna, he screamed. You know, sometimes children cry, and sometimes they scream. He screamed. And the screaming is a long story. It went on for weeks, day and night. They got doctors. What happened? He hated Krishna. And his whole life was Krishna, 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 Krishna. No, that was Yudhisthira's question. You know, how did he get liberation? Because of the power of Krishna's name. The Supreme Pure purifies. So he got liberation. Or we don't need it anymore. Fire burns. Whether you know what it is or you don't know what it is, that's its power. It gives heat and light, and it burns. So, they're not deserving. That's correct. But they get purification anyways. Now, what about us? We're not deserving. What's our qualification? You know, we're, you know, kind of confused. You know, degrees of piety and impiety and a mix of passion. So what's our qualification? So, but we're eligible for purification also. Is that all right? We're finished? Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.